Great, good morning, friends. Obviously, Nick introduced me as Jonathan Sharp, and I serve on the leadership team here at Bay City Church. And we're busy with a series called Family on Mission. Nick did prayer last week, praying together. Today, we're going to look at praising together. I don't know about you, but when we come together as God's people and we begin to lift up the name of Jesus and we fix our attention and our gaze, there's something that changes in the atmosphere. There's something that changes in our hearts. It's not just words that we are singing to God, but it's actually a life of a song to God, saying, God, I'm celebrating you with everything that I am. I really value this time because when we begin to sing together, friends, God's power is demonstrated. Sometimes we do not see it. Sometimes we feel like we do not experience that. I was reminded of a scripture in Acts 16, verse 25 to 26, when Paul and Silas were in prison. They were in a difficult situation. And together, what were they doing? They were praying and they were singing hymns. And as they were doing that, the power of God was displayed and prison doors were opened. We sing songs. The prison doors will open up. But friends, the prison doors open up when we get a voice that sings to a God who is unstoppable, who is loving, who is powerful, who is merciful, who is kind, and who is gracious. God has declared and he's spoken to us that we are a chosen nation, friends. A people of God. Not divided, not separated. I love the fact that we can worship God and sing songs to God. Not as a divided nation, but as a people of God. We long for a church that would represent all of South Africa. Of different colors, of different culture. And one of the greatest reasons I believe in South Africa we do not see that in our country is because guys will say it from the lips, but it won't be in the heart. And praise is not about just engaging God with our lips. It's engaging God with our hearts. Praise is an experience, an experience of worship. It's not duty. We have a great privilege, friends, to gather on a Sunday to sing. But I want to say it is a lifestyle. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says this, the NIV version I'm going to be reading. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Just think about that. Us together, we are a special possession to God. But this is why we are his special possession, that we may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. It's an amazing privilege, friends, that our praise doesn't just end here in this building. But actually, we are called to praise God outside of this building. Praise God in the midst of our families. You know, I want to say one thing, and I just want to honor Lee and Lisa. Yeah. They're an amazing couple who have put their eyes on Jesus. And they, as you can see, most Sundays, they are, yeah, on stage. But you know, we rock up here on practices, and they're kids. Their kids are, yeah. They brought their family. They haven't separated their lives and their praise of God from their families. And I find it such a privilege, friends, that Abby, my daughter, can grow up in an environment where there is a people who's passionate about praising this God. Man, it's a privilege, friends. With what's going out in the world, I tell you what, we need a family where we can find our hope and our strength, where we can be encouraged, where we can see godly values, godly demonstrations of what a marriage looks like, what parenting looks like. What living a life of God looks like. I'm honored to, and it is vital to my life, friends, that I'm connected to these men and to one another because it's in that that I also get shaped. I'm not an island, and God has never called me to be an island. But together, as Ephesians 2:22 says, We are called, in him, we are called to be built together as a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Beautiful picture of the Trinity. In him, that when we choose to believe in Christ, we are in Christ, and we have been built together, not separate, not isolated. We have been built together as a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. You know, the dwelling place of God is a, in the old days, in the Old Testament, should I say, was a place where guys would encounter the presence of God, where there was worship. The temple would represent the presence of God, would represent where people got their sustenance, where they offered their sacrifices. But God doesn't dwell in buildings anymore, friends. Not that that was a moment in history. God is all over the place. He's ever present. But more so now, God wants to dwell in his church. And that's a word that was spoken over this church many years ago, that we would be a people of his presence. A people of his presence, a people that know his presence, a people that are sensitive to the leading of his presence. And not only here, but when we walk out of these doors, that as a family, people in the city will begin to experience the presence and the life of God, because it happens here first, friends. It happens here in our hearts. But you might ask, why do we praise? You know, why do we come together and sing songs? Because it might be unfamiliar. I don't know about you, but I come from a very conservative church background. And there wasn't too much of raising of hands, not too much. We sang great songs of theology, but it wasn't very expressive. I want to say, when I came into Bay City Church the first time, I was a little bit scared and freaked out. Why? Because the guys were extravagant in their posture, in their expression of their devotion to Jesus. And that was raising of hands, jumping up, shouting aloud, singing, speaking in tongues, all of these crazy things, encouraging one another. And in turn, I've become one of those people. We rub off on one another. But the Bible is full of different expressions of praise. The word praise literally means to celebrate God, to celebrate God. But we see that there are different uses of the word praise. And I want to read a few, because I think it's helpful to see why we do these things. So the first one is called barak, B-A-R-A-K, to kneel or to bow, which implies a continual conscious giving place to God. Amazing that one of our aspects of praise is to bow down, to kneel. What it does is it says, I'm creating space in my life, continuous space. I'm opening up my life to you, God. Another one, halal. It's the one I think we've already spoken of some time ago in worship. To praise, to make a show or rave about, to glory in or boast upon, to make clamorously foolish about your adoration of God. I mean, picture a stadium for a moment. Springboks and New Zealand, and we go with the Springbok vest, we united with this because of the Springboks, and we go to a stadium, and there's black, and there's green, and gold. And Oaks, if you've ever been at a stadium or watched Nick at a rugby game, there is a lot of clamorous, foolish behavior, shouting. So, and yet, when we look at them, we call them fans. But what about us? Sometimes we're called fanatics. But friends, I'd rather be called a fanatic of Christ than a fan of any Springbok rugby team. Honestly, honestly, we must be fanatics for God. The next one is tequila. And no, it's not tequila, friends. The definition is a new song, a hymn of spontaneous praise, glorifying God in song. And the word is used in Psalm 34, verse 1, which, when I read it, it's going to sound like it is. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His tehillah shall continually be in my mouth. It's God's version of tequila, friends. It brings joy. It brings praise. It brings worship. Isn't that amazing, hey? Yada is to hold out with extended hands. You see, we do that a lot. The passage of Scripture is in Psalm 18, verse 49. It says, "Therefore, I will give thanks." That word thanks is actually yada. "I will extend my hands to you." The last one is zamar, to touch the strings or parts of a musical instrument. And you will find that everything that we do on a Sunday is based upon what's happening here. Zamar, the Psalm 66, verse 2 says, "Zamar out the honor of his name, make his praise glorious." In other words, touch the strings, pluck the strings with the voice. Worship him, praise him. Those are just, I think, five of many words, of different expressions of our praise. But friends, these are just expressions of our praise. Praise is much more than songs sung on a Sunday. It's the evidence of a far deeper work of God in an individual's life, which stems from a life that encounters him, a life of intimacy. God does not just want us to sing songs of praise. He wants our life to be a song. Nachum Mayberg, we were at Pastor's Breakfast on Thursday, and he said this profound statement. He said, "A lifestyle of intimacy will always produce a lifestyle of praise." And he comes from a very difficult place of struggling with depression. But he realized that the place in which we begin to praise is when we are intimate with Jesus. Amazing truth that. We've got to allow that truth to settle in our hearts. An example of this is Acts 3, verse 3 to 8. You might remember it. We've mentioned it many times, where Peter and John head to the temple to pray. And on the way, they come across this beggar at the gate, beautiful, who has been lame for many, many years. He's never entered into the temple. He's never had an opportunity to encounter the presence of God. But in a moment, he encounters God. He asks Peter and John, and he says, he asks them for alms, or he begs from them for money. And Peter and John say to him, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I give. In Jesus' name of Nazareth, get up and walk." And he says, he goes and he extends his hand and he picks him up. But listen to what happens to this gentleman. And he says, verse 7, "And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God." A man encountering the presence of God through a church who celebrates God every day of every moment of our lives. But that's the thing here, friends. Jesus desires intimacy with you. He desires intimacy with me, with this world. That's why he says, when he was speaking to the Samaritan woman, he said the worshipers that the Father is seeking after is worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Spirit, our wholehearted response to God, and truth, a true view of who he is, not of who we think he is, who he is. But in that passage of Scripture in John 4:23, where Jesus speaks to that Samaritan woman, the word worshiper, or worship, the type of worship that God is looking for, that word is translated literally from the Greek to come forward to kiss. So what Jesus is saying is actually the worshipers that the Father is seeking after is those that will draw near for a kiss. See, it's God's expression of intimacy with his people, friends. I want to say God is not passive. He's not waiting for humanity to come to him, but rather the Father is actively pursuing. He's searching for us, drawing near to humanity. The Father is not at a distance. Rather, he's knocking on the door of everyone's heart, wanting to come in and make his home with us. I love that. God making his home in our spirit, in our soul. Man, that changes a person. That gives me hope, gives me peace, gives me life. I want to say a person's lips are quite intimate. You know, my wife's lips. No one must go near to my wife's lips. It's reserved for me. Honestly, it's reserved for me. I want to say when we kiss one another, we are actually just showing our great affection to one another and our great love. That's why I kiss my wife. That's why I kiss my child. That's why I kiss my loved ones. But like I said, it's reserved for a specific few. I don't kiss Nick. I know you're saying, thank goodness, of course. But it's because he's got a beard. That's the only reason why. But this is the thing. Here is the God of the universe who's wanting to draw near to us. He wants to kiss us, friends. I want to say he wants us to be recipients of his great affection and divine love, which God the Father poured out already over us when he sent Jesus Christ to the cross. Jesus Christ took our place. He took our place. And that is where God poured out his love. He poured it out. The Bible says that Jesus became sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God, that we might be that righteousness, be made right with God. Be made right with God. See, the Father has made a way for us to draw near for a kiss, and he has done it through the person of Jesus Christ. Friends, we have a lot to praise for. We have a lot to be thankful for. I know what's in my heart. I know the mistakes I've made. I know the past. I know what I will probably do into the future. But man, we serve an amazing God, an awesome Father, a loving God who seeks intimacy. How are we doing for time there, Nick? Still all right, eh? You just give me the sign and we'll worship. What does a lifestyle of praise look like for a family on mission? And I think that's a good question to ask, because that's obviously the reason why we are here. This is a series that we're doing. 1 Corinthians 14:26 says this: "What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up." Wow. Not if, not maybe. Think about it. But when you come together. That's the practice of every believer, is that togetherness is what brings about God's work, God's promise, God's purpose in our lives, not only as a together, but as individuals. This is where we are built up and encouraged. Again, the purpose of gathering, as Paul writes here, is so that together we might be mutually encouraged and built up. I find it interesting that he says, each one, just say each one for a moment. Each one. It says, when you come together, each one has a hymn. Each one has a tongue, an interpretation. He's speaking about our corporate, our together worship. But he says that each one, and I want to say, oftentimes we can come to just receive in this building, in this place, or when we gather together in life groups or in the home. We come to receive from God and from one another, absolutely. I do not deny that, and we should. But there is also another element to our praise, friends, and that is actually we also here to give. Give God thanks. Give God praise. Give one another encouragement. And we can do that. We have a space here where, as elderships, we create a space. If God is stirring something in your heart, it might be a song, it might be a word, it might be a prophecy, it might be something. There are opportunities to release the life of God, friends. The manifestation of the Spirit when we would build up the church. Happy? Makes sense, eh? I'm gonna be landing this very shortly, about 5 minutes, eh? There are two integral parts to feed both of our private and public life of praise: the Word of God and the Spirit of God. See, Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." There is a definite relationship, friends, between knowing the Word of God and our expression of worship and praise. You see, without the knowledge of God, the whole point is we're not just here to sing with our lips. our singing must be from the heart. And if the word of Christ is not dwelling here, if we're not meditating on it, if we're not spending time in it, we are not going to be changed, and neither will our praise be, because praise is from the heart. That's what Jesus said to the religious leaders. You honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. God wants our hearts, friends. He doesn't want our lips. But when he has our heart, he'll have our lips too. Why is this important to praise together? Through the singing of the word of God, we teach and encourage ourselves and one another. So there's a vertical element, giving thanks to God, but there's also a horizontal, which is the spontaneous song, which is oda pneuma. That's the Greek word, which means God breathed. That's for us, the prophetic, the God speaking to his people. And God doesn't speak just like a mist. He uses us through his spirit to do that. But it comes by allowing the word of Christ to dwell richly. Now imagine, I'm going to use Grant as an example here quickly. But if I start singing over Grant, you are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words. Okay, I don't know about you, but if someone sang that over me, I would be super encouraged. But yeah. But all jokes aside, man, when we find ourselves in a difficult place and we begin to sing truth, maybe you're struggling with your identity and all of a sudden a song breaks out, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Man, something happens in the heart. We've got to sing truth, friends. We've got to sing truth. We have to sing truth. I want to say, as we grow in our knowledge of the word, we will grow in our expression of praise. Secondly, the Spirit of God feeds both our private and public life of praise. So we've got the word of Christ and we've got the Spirit of God that dwells in a person. Ephesians 5:19 says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And again, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence. Paul is speaking about a lifestyle of being filled with the Spirit, not a one-time event. Being filled is a continuous, submissive and surrender to the will and work of the Spirit in our lives that results in joyous praise and singing, not only over ourselves, but over one another. Joy is certainly a fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:22, joy is not an emotion that rises and falls. It's not an emotion that rises and falls with how life is going. But joy can be defined. Joy can be defined as this. And I just lost my place here. Joy is not an emotion that rises and falls depending on how life is going. Rather, it can be defined as the state of being that finds its adequacy and confidence in God apart from circumstances. You see, when we submit to God, we acknowledge that God is in control. It's in this place we find joy. It's from this place we praise. I want to end with this. And maybe I can ask the music team to come forward so long. We're going to take a time where we're just going to engage with our Father. I want to say this morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ, maybe this is foreign to you. Maybe you've never sung from your heart because you've never known the intimacy of our Father. There is plenty of opportunity, friends. We can make right with God now. Jesus has made it easy for us that we are to come to him, the Bible teaches, by faith, which is to trust in Jesus, to trust in the saving work of Jesus on the cross. But to not only do that, but by faith to walk in all that he has for us, to turn our lives and repent of the things of the past, of the things that God can make of the past, if you will allow him to. But what does praise do, friends, when we celebrate together? It says, you are holy, enthroned on the praises of your people. When we as a people gather together, he makes his dwelling place in our midst. As this scripture speaks of, it says his throne is in our midst. We are an imperfect people with imperfect praises, and yet that's the place where God decides to make his dwelling. He could choose any other place, but he chooses our praises to make a dwelling place. And where God dwells, friends, that is where his throne is. That is where we realize that, God, you are in control. That, God, I'm going to step aside and allow you to be who you say you are. I'm no longer going to take that place, but I'm going to trust you. Come high waters, come difficult times, because our lives are filled with challenges and difficulties, friends. But when we begin to praise, we're going to see God move the mountains.